We have people come into the garden all the time, and they want to know if we would give them a recipe. And I really don't know the recipes. And I have a cook who cooks by taste and tell. And she doesn't know how to write them down. So Jean would say that isn't any way to run a restaurant, but this is true. As the owner said, he told Peg and I one day, he said, you two run that restaurant like a couple of drunk Indians over there and make money out of it. But we do have one very, very sweet dessert that we serve at the garden, and it's made fresh every day. And the ingredients are very simple. You can remember it just in your head. And we give it out free every day from 10:30 to 11 to people who are there. And it consists of two ingredients. You just take one cup full, running over, of the Word of God, mix it well with faith in you, and serve it well done. And I tell you, it is as honey in the mouth. And what's more, it has zero calories to the flesh. In fact, it does even better than that. It starves the flesh. But it is as moistening to your bones and health to your nerves. And we serve it there every day. And even when I'm not there, it's made and served. But you know, for 33 years, I had never had even a little taste of this great, sweet graciousness of the Word of God. At the age of 10, I was in church with some little friends on the back row, and we wrote notes all during the sermon back and forth, and when the invitation was given or they started to sing, the little girl next to me turned and she said, let's go down and join the church. And I said, okay. So we went down and joined the church. And from that time on, I always thought everyone who was a church member would go to heaven one day, and those who were not would go to hell. And that was the extent of going to church. After I left home and went away to college, I didn't give going to church another thought, and it just wasn't a part of my life. I even managed somehow, and I don't remember how, but I know I did manage to even get out of religious education as a freshman in college. But then after leaving college, and I met this wonderful boy, and we dated for about 6 months. And then very romantically one evening, he said that we were on the date, and he said, so your roommate's getting married. And I said, yes, she's going to be leaving, and I'm going to have to find someone. He said, I'll be your roommate. And I said, well, that's a pretty good deal. I wouldn't have to look any further. And so we were going to get married, and we talked about it and decided that we would get married in a church, of course, with all the traditional things. And they had just finished a beautiful chapel, or it hadn't been too long ago, in this Methodist church there in Tulsa, and we thought that would be the place to get married. So I went down and inquired at the church office about using the chapel for a wedding. And the lady said, yes, we do let people have weddings in there. And I said, well, is it free? And she said, it is to members, but we charge $10 to those who are not members. And so the next Sunday, I joined another church. And I saved. And I saved the $10. The only trouble was they got my name on their budget list. But after being married in the church, I never went back, and that was the end of that going to church. And then when the children began to come along, the first little girl was born, and when the second child was being born, my husband's relatives took care of our little girl. And they went to church all the time, and so they took her with them. And she liked this, going to Sunday school. So after we came home, they continued to take them spasmodically. And off and on through the years, as the children were growing up, they would come by and pick them up occasionally and take them to Sunday school. And the little girls and the little boy got to where they were old enough they wanted to go. And so I told my husband, I said, it was your relatives that started this, so you take them. And so he would get up in the morning, on Sunday morning, and dress and take the children off to Sunday school. One day the little girl said, Mother, let's all go to Sunday school. And I said, well, honey, it just works out better this way. Mother's home and has dinner ready when you get back, and it's just so much better. And my husband said, well, let's all go. It won't hurt. And I said, well, I'll go down, but I'm not joining the Sunday school because first thing you know, they'll want you to be a group captain. So I went down, and this first Sunday they were talking about the fact that there was a revival. They were going to have a revival in September. And they said that there was this young fellow from Texas who was a multimillionaire, and he was coming to hold a revival. And they said, you know, he just takes off from his work 2 or 3 months out of the year and goes around preaching. Well, I couldn't recall having ever really been to a revival. But I thought, why would a fellow with a lot of money go preach? I thought they preached for the money. And so I thought, well, this is one thing I'm going to. And I just went home and just wrote revival all that week. I thought, I'm going every night to that. Sure enough, they were real good-looking, handsome people from Texas, you know, and they could do everything big. And as the fellow preached, you know, I thought that was great. I never really argued with anything anybody said about the Bible. You know, if they said Jesus is the Savior of the world, that's fine. You know, agree with that. And the Trinity, that's fine. I never really argued with anyone about the Bible. But this third night, the fellow said, started off his topic, and he said, I take a drink anytime I want to. I go to the girly shows anytime I want to. And I play poker anytime I want to. Well, he got about that stage, you know, and I thought he's just about mentioned everything I ever even want to do. And so I thought, if he can do all of that, you know, and call himself a Christian, well, maybe you can kind of think about getting in this before you're so old you don't want to do anything else. And then he went on calling it off, and he said, but I just don't want to. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's the case. I knew there was something in there. But the more each night as I went, and the Holy Spirit, which I didn't know that was the Holy Spirit working, but I wanted to go down and give this a try. I thought, now, if you can just do anything you want to do, because this particular group, I always thought, was don't-doers, you know. And I thought, if you can do anything you want to do, I really wanted to give this a try. And so we continued to go, and after about Thursday night, my husband found out I really was going to go every night, so he started going with me. And on Friday night, I wanted to go down so badly and just try this, you know. But we always sat way at the very back where you could get out in a hurry. And it looked so far down that aisle, I thought I could never make it. But we did. The service finally got over, and we got out, and we were with some friends that evening. And in the course of the conversation, the revival came up. And so Bill, my husband, said, well, I think that a family should all belong to the same church. But he said, I'd never join during a revival because people just think, oh, you know, you're worked up and everything. And just, he said, but I think that, you know, you should join. And so we were going to the next night, and I thought, well, I don't know how I can go down there and get through it another night. So it even met on Saturday night. When we came home that evening, I said, I'm joining the church tomorrow. And I was so glad I'd said it. And he said, well, if you're going to join, I'll join with you. And I said, well, let's sit down real close so it won't take very long to get there. And, you know, the thought went through my mind because I had never really even thought about, I heard the preacher say, you must be born again. And he had been talking about what it was to be born again in receiving Jesus Christ into your life. And I had never even heard this before. I probably had been someplace where it was preached, but I really hadn't heard it. And so, of course, I thought, what will I put down why I came down? Because I had been in that Sunday school class, you know, and they gave you this slip, and are you a Christian? I had a big old check for that, you know. Sure, everybody that's going to heaven's a Christian, you know, and I checked it. And I thought, I don't want to go down there and let these people think I didn't know what I was talking about. So what am I going to put on that little card for them? And I thought, I had heard about rededication, so I thought, I'll just check that, you know, and then they'll know that I wasn't a real dummy. So the one thing I like particularly about this revival, because the preacher always before on other Sundays, you know, he'd say, now, he'd call them by name. You stand up here, you know, and everybody now, as soon as the amen, you come by and shake hands with them. Well, this had gotten to me so that I knew I couldn't go through this shaking the hand bit. But at this revival, this young fellow always said after the people came down, he said, now we'll let these go off into the counseling room and then we'll be dismissed. And I really wanted to get in on that particular part of it. But this had gone on and it was Sunday morning now. And so a lot of people came down. We were the first ones there. A lot of people came down, and then the dear old little preacher, and he was a dear soul, and he said, now this morning we're going to do it differently. We're going to ask them to just remain here, and let's all come down and shake hands with them. And I said to my husband standing next to me, I said, as soon as he says amen, we're going out the door. He said, okay. So they said amen, and we were in the middle. We just shot off for the door to go to the nursery. And we got over to the door, and someone put their hand on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was Howard Butt. And he said, this is the right thing, you know. And I said, well, I hope it is, because I'm in it. And in the counseling room that evening, he told us to do four things. He said, pray, read your Bible, join a church, and tithe your money. And this is what we should do as new Christians. So I had a birthday coming up, and I just knew someone was going to buy me a Bible. You know, nobody bought me a Bible. So I thought, well, I'll just take the money that I got for birthday, and I'll go down and buy one. And I bought a Bible, and I paid a good price for it, you know, and it was a real nice looking one because I planned to keep it out on the coffee table. Everybody knew that we had joined the church, and I wanted one that looked respectable. And so I bought this real nice Bible and put it out on the coffee table. And this was in November, and of course we had already made plans for the holidays that were coming up and different things to do. And I thought, you know, that's fine. You do anything you want to do as long as you want to do it. And so we just went right along with everything as usual. I did have a little guilty conscience about some things, but still, you know, I wanted to do it. We came in late one night after New Year's, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I'm not sleepy. I'm just going to stay up and read a while. And so I started to pick up a magazine. I noticed that Bible there, you know, and I thought, oh, I haven't read that Bible. And he said, read it every day, you know. And I picked it up and I thumbed through it and opened it. And I really, when I would pick it up to read it, you know, I didn't know what to read. I'd just open it up and it all seemed Greek and I'd close it and put it back. But I opened it up that evening and it just fell open and I looked down and I saw, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it was just like an old friend. I had actually heard preachers say that, you know, and there it was, right in the Bible, just the way they said it. And it was just like somebody, you know, just shaking hands. There you are. I saw something that was really familiar. And at the same time I bought this Bible, when I went up to pay for it, there was a stack of dictionaries. And I had a little money left over, and so I just said, well, I'll take a new dictionary. And I was real proud to have this pretty dictionary in the home, you know, and every once in a while I'd look up a word. But then I thought, as I read that verse, John 3:16 there, and it said, whosoever believeth in him. And I thought, yeah, that's me, you know, that's what I do. And I thought, I wonder what that word believe means in the dictionary. And so I just reached over and picked it up, and believe, the thing that stuck out in my mind was have faith. And so then I thought, I wonder what says faith means. And I flipped over to faith, and it said surrender to. That was one of the meanings that stood out. And I thought, well, if that's what believe means, I've really never surrendered anything. I joined the church. But believe in Jesus Christ, I haven't surrendered anything. And so I just thought, I said, well, if this is what it means to believe, then I really want this to be the way it's supposed to be. And I just thought, it's been kind of a, here I am, you show me. And so I thought, I just said, well, I really surrender myself to you. And I actually believe in you, Jesus Christ, and I surrender myself to you. And from now on, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I thought, now that's a good way to surrender. And I just closed my Bible and went to bed. And the next day I got up, I kind of wanted to read the Bible again. I thought I might find something, you know, interesting like that again. And I read a verse or two. And on the third day, the telephone rang, and this girl said, hi, Evelyn Dossie. She said, would you give the devotional Sunday? I said, Evelyn, this is Jerry. She said, I know it. I said, well, I have never given a devotional. I said, the only time I've even talked on my feet has been to my kids. I don't know anything about a devotional. And I said, why in the world would you call me to give the devotional? And she said, well, I don't know. I just shot a prayer about what to do about Sunday, and you came to mind. And it was just like, I'll do anything you want me to do. I said, well, I guess I will, but I said, what in the world would I do it on? And she said, oh, I just thought about maybe growing in grace. Well, that was one other verse I had read in the Bible the day before, in 1 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that was the only thing that was familiar to me in there. I said, okay. I hung up the phone, you know, and I said, Lord, I told you that I would do anything you told me. Asked me to do, but you are really going to have to do this one because I do not know a thing about this. And ideas began to come into my head just so fast I went in to get a pencil and start writing them down. And during that week, you know, it's from Wednesday till Sunday is an awfully long time when you know you're going to have to get up and talk. And I'd be washing dishes, you know, and I'd get the butterflies in my stomach. Standing up there looking at all those people. And so I went in and picked up my Bible, and I thought, now, Lord, I want a real promise. I want to know that you're going to be with me in this. I want to know that I'm not going to have to do it by myself. And I started reading, and I came to Jeremiah. And I read these words in Jeremiah 1, where the Lord told Jeremiah to go speak to someone. And he said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee and will deliver thee. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And I said, Lord, that is good enough. If you're going to do it that way, then that's good enough for me. A little later, a few months later, I was approached to teach a class of teenagers. And when the fella came up, you know, and said, Jerry, would you take this class of 15-year-old girls? Well, I was a real green Christian, and I didn't know that they just kind of put this on everyone new because no one wanted teenagers. But I thought about it, and I said, Lowell, honestly, I had never even read one chapter complete yet in the Bible. And I said, I know I couldn't, because I knew that these kids, you know, they've been coming up through the church and memorizing all these scriptures and knowing all these stories. I didn't even know the stories in the Bible yet. I said, I'm sorry, I just couldn't. He said, well, maybe you would. No, can't. So that night I went to bed and I taught teenagers all night. So I got up about 4 o'clock and I thought, well, if I just know, Lord, that this is what you really want to do through me, then I'll go ahead and do it. But I'm going to go in here and sit down and start to read, and I want you to tell me. So I went in and opened my Bible and started reading. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, how do you know? Do you just open up the Bible and start reading? Sometimes I do, but then other times I know what I want to talk to the Lord about. So I just go back in the concordance and look up, like, teach, and start writing down scriptures with regard to teach to see what he says. Well, in this instant, I came to John 14:26, and he says, but the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I said, that's good enough, Lord. I'll teach this class. So at 8 o'clock in the morning I called. I said, Lowell, do you have a teacher? No. I said, I'll take it. So I took the 15-year-olds to teach. And, of course, things just, opportunities open up, you know, to do things, to grow. And this went on down through the years, and it was going pretty good. And one evening at home, something didn't go so well, and I really blew my stack. I went back in the room, and my husband followed me back. He shut the door, and he said, she's an angel at the church, but she's hell at home. And I just turned around and I slapped him so hard. And that old sweet face just walked out. Well, of course, I thought, you know, this is it. I've had it. But that was the first time that I really understood what it was when it said that truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. And of course it was just the big silent treatment all evening and the next day. And after the children got off to school, I thought, I just can't stand this. You know, something has to be done. So I thought, well, I'll go to the Word. I went in and I picked my Bible up, you know, and I thought, I've got to read it or something. But as I picked it up, I just threw it as hard as I could against the wall. And I thought, I am sick to death of this. But he's right. He's true. And why doesn't it work? Well, when that Bible hit the wall, it broke my heart. And I guess it was the devil, but something said, you have really had it. There will be no forgiving this. But I went over and I picked it up. And I just opened it up to sit down, started reading through all the tears, and I came to 1 John 1:9. And it said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thought, but I don't deserve to be forgiven for this. But I read it again, and this is what it said. Confess our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I just said, Lord, that was a terrible sin. I acknowledge it as such. And it's sin. And he just seemed to say, Jerry, you trust me? for everything that you're doing down at the church. Why don't you just trust me and let my grace work here in the home? And I really came to know what grace by Jesus Christ is. Absolutely undeserving. And I went to the telephone. I dialed my husband down at the office. And I told him that I was truly sorry for this. And he said, oh, that's all right. I hung up the phone, and in about 15 minutes, it rang. And this girl said, Jerry, would you lead a prayer group for us tomorrow morning? And I said, I'm sure glad you didn't call 30 minutes ago. But I said, I'd be happy to. Because you know, this is, if we really believe these promises, we don't have to do anything. We just confess the sin and just move on out. And it's never any surprise to him, the things that we do. He knows the deceitfulness of the heart, and he moves on out with us. You know, I prayed that my husband would really get hungry for the Word. It seemed as though, you know, he was game to go along to church and willing to go to anything that I wanted to go with him, to go with me too. But he didn't really have too much interest in really studying the Word, getting into it. And I just prayed that he would. He called me one day. He said, I just found out they're going to merge the company I'm with one in Houston. And he said the whole bunch is going to Houston. Well, our decision was, did we want to go to Houston or did we want to stay in Tulsa? And he'd been with this company for 20 years. So this, you know, kind of knocking it around, which did we want to do? He called me about 3 days later and he said, they are doing away with the patent department here completely. And this is what he was in. And he said, I'm out of a job. Well, there wasn't any choice. And he really hit bottom. A man, 45 years old, and he didn't think that anyone would hire a fellow 45 years old. And he really hit bottom. And he just, you know, when he came home, and one thing I learned through this, you can't just go up to someone that is really down and say, you've got to have faith. It just doesn't work that way. Because there wasn't any hope.
It said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to get all these lessons studied. I'm going to get these things done. And the last one I had to do was just 2 days before we left. I thought, nevertheless, everything else aside, I'll do it. So I just put that number one, and that was what I was going to do. And 2 days before we left, this friend of mine, and we wear the same size clothes, she came over and she said, Jerry, I have been to Hawaii a lot of times. I know exactly what you need. I'm going to pack for you. And she said, I'm just going to pack the clothes that you're to take. I said, oh, you can do this. She said, yes, I am. I'm just going to pack the clothes and you take them. And she said, don't take anything of your own, because on a trip you just get so tired of wearing your own clothes. When you come home, you're just sick of them. So she said, I'm just going to pack. Well, she packed a suitcase full of clothes. That was so many clothes. It was over and above what I could even ask or think. And I'd say, I can't take that many clothes. Yes, you can. Just change clothes a lot all the time. And so we went off with the suitcase just loaded down with clothes. And that Matthew 6:33, just over and above what I could even think. And the third day out, we were at this place, and Bill told me when we got back in the room, he was with a group up around the pool, and I was coming toward them. He said, say, Dick told me as you were coming up, he said, boy, your wife sure does have a good-looking wardrobe. And he said, I just thought, you ain't seen nothing yet. But there again, the Word of God, really, just standing on it and obeying it the way he says, comes through. And then he just brings us through. There isn't any situation that he can't bring us through by his word. One summer, my husband was walking down the street, and he decided to walk into one of these wagons where they x-ray you. He went in and had his chest x-rayed because he had a pretty bad cough. And about 2 weeks later, a card came and said, see your doctor immediately. He came home and said, Bill, you've got to go to the doctor now. So we went over there. The doctor examined him and said, go to the hospital. And he said, well, I'll go tomorrow. He said, go on over there now. So we went to the hospital. They said they just wanted to run a few tests. They ran some tests for about 10 days. And then the doctor said, well, we're going to have to operate because you do have, it looks like, lung cancer. And so we're going to have to operate on it, and we possibly can get it all right now. So I was in the room by myself with Bill before he went to the operating room, and they had already given him the shot to put him asleep. And there was a Bible laying there, and I said, Lord, I want to hear this from you. How is it going to come out? And I said, I'm going to start reading, and I want you to show me. And I turned to Faith, some verse that I knew on faith, because this is what I needed right then. And as I was doing a cross-reference on a verse, there was a word in some verse I read, and it referred over to Isaiah 54:4. And Isaiah 54:4 said, fear not, neither be thou confounded, for I will take away the reproach of thy widowhood. I, thy maker, shall be thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Well, you know, fear just gripped my heart. But yet peace was just right there with it. And I just really had to thank the Lord for the shock absorber. It was so much sweeter just hearing it from him than from a doctor. And sure enough, after they operated, the doctor came down, two of them. One, the little family physician who loved us all and had known us for years, he said, I think we got it all and everything's going to be all right. I said, well, thank you. The other physician, the one who had done the operating, came up to me and he said, Mrs. Freeman, you give him cobalt, I'll give him 6 months. And it was 6 months to the day that he went home to be with the Lord. But nevertheless, even the cold way that he said it, the Lord had already prepared me. And as I came home from the hospital at 4:30 in the morning, and it was too early, you know, to call people, and you just feel like you don't really even want to talk to anyone. And I went in and sat down around the at the breakfast table, and we had a little bread of life scriptures on the table. And so just kind of out of desperation, I just reached over and pulled one. And you know, at the hospital, when just seeing him there, and I thought, you begin to doubt, is he really, you know, absent from the body at home with the Lord? And you just begin to doubt, and you think, you know, what am I going to do now? And all of these things kind of flood in. But I picked this little verse up, and I looked at it, and it was 1 Kings 8:56. And it said, there hath not failed one word of all of his good promises. And with that verse of scripture, the Lord was just able to take me through that period truly with joy. You know, in Isaiah 61:3 it says that the Lord gave to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And he can really do it. He gives us all of these things if we will let him, if we will accept it by his grace. I just wish I had time to tell you how the Lord has worked in the garden over at Utica Square. This dear friend just called me one day and she said, where have you been? Well, I don't know. Just haven't seen you in a day or two. Well, they padlocked the garden and I'm over here going through the drawers looking for recipes. Come over and join me. I went over to help her clean out a drawer, and 2 months later I was manager of the garden. And I didn't know anything about the restaurant business. And I still know very little. But the Lord just had that so ready. I thought if I had been going to look for a job, I never would have gone to a restaurant. Never. I would never have done that. Dirty dishes kind of make me sneeze. But I would have gone looking for a secretarial job. But here the Lord just brought me in the back door this way. And you know, when Peg first said, we've got a little place over Utica Square and it's going to be called the Garden. And this was all about 6 or 7 months prior to this time. And that night I thought, that is the sweetest name for a tea room, the Garden. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if that would be a place where people not only ate, you know, for physical being, but really had spiritual food. And so I just sat down that night, you know, and went through and stayed up until about 2 o'clock just looking up scriptures with regard to garden in the Bible. And I just thought, that would be so great. Well, then here comes this little guy from New York, you know, and he's going to manage the whole thing. And the way he talks, you know, and think, oh, no, that'll never go. Stand and the scriptures just won't mix in there. And so I just forgot it. But here I was then, manager of the garden. And this thought came, you know. Now the Lord said, you thought it'd be so great to make me number one in this garden. And here you are in here. And you have the authority, you know, you are top dog right here. You could do it. And I just thought, oh, Lord, but, you know, I mean, all the swearing and everything goes on around here and things that, you know, it just wouldn't go. So I was sitting down reading my Bible one night, and I came across this verse, and it was in Isaiah 61:11, and it said, as the garden causes the things which are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will spring forth with righteousness, justice, and praise unto his honor through the self-fulfilling power of his word. Oh, I read that, and I thought, the word of God in the garden. I said, Lord, if I make it to that garden tomorrow, we will read the word. If I get over there tomorrow, Lord, we'll read the word. So the next morning, I went, you know, and I go in the door and said, everybody, we're going to meet in the Daisy Room at 10:30. You know, can everybody? Yeah. So, okay, they all came in, you know. I went and picked up my Bible. I said, well, I don't really have anything to say, and I didn't even want to look up at them, because talking about faces that scare you. I said, I just thought we'd have a little reading from the Bible here this morning before we start, and I just opened it up and started reading, you know, and you could have heard a pin drop. And I just read a few verses, you know, and said it just a short sentence prayer, and I said, okay, let's go. And I just walked on back in the office, and the next day I called them in, we did that. Well, what I didn't know was, I learned later, the waitresses and all of them said, we don't have to take this. You know, we don't have to listen to this. And I didn't know that. They didn't say it to me, but they were saying it among themselves. And so I just kept on, you know, just reading that word just a little bit every morning. Before we'd open up, we'd read the word. Well, the cursing stopped, you know, in the kitchen. Somebody would say something, you know. I didn't say anything to them about they had to quit cursing or anything. And things just began to go better, you know, and everybody, you know, the criticism, the slander, and all that was kind of stopped, and everybody was kind of enjoying everyone. And this is the way that the self-fulfilling power of the word is. And this works the same in a home, in a life. It's just reading the word, just letting the word of God have an opportunity. We can just, I stand around and I think, I've had friends say, oh, if I just had joy. You know, I just want joy, or I just want peace in my heart. But this comes by the Word of God as we begin to read the Word of God. And this is where the instant energy is, in just taking the Word of God and absolutely mixing it with faith in us. And this is what has made all the difference in the world in my life. It isn't anything else but the Word of God. And I love it over in Revelation, in the 13th chapter, where it's speaking of Jesus Christ. And it said, and his name is the Word of God. The Word of God, and the powerful meaning of it.